Poetry Lessons by Perry X. Cry, read to you by Be Brave 13. A Stranger Things Byler Fic. Based off of that scene from Merlin. Where could he be? I don't know, Mike. The Crown Prince lets out a groan of frustration. He rakes his hands through his hair, let down from its top knot after the events of the day. His nightshirt is half tucked into his pants, and his boot buckles click with his frantic movements. He hadn't even had time to buckle them. Will, on the other hand, is still dressed for the day. He was just about to head down to his family's quarters in the servants' wing of the castle when Mike had squawked. The remains of his dinner had gone flying, and Will had surmised that his prince's familiar tormentor had made another unfortunate appearance. I swear it lives in the walls. It knows exactly when I'm finishing dinner and about to go to bed. Will hadn't thought it fortuitous to point out that the castle walls are, in fact, made out of stone. He and the prince had grown up together and had a more lax relationship than other royals with their servants, but Will also knew Mike had a snap-fire temper, and he hadn't been in the mood to push his luck. So now, they're standing in the hallway, the low-lit torches flickering around them as Mike hurriedly flips his head this way and that. When he turns back to face Will, his teeth are clenched. He went that way! A damning finger points over Will's shoulder. I'm sure of it!
Did you see it? Will gently prompts.
He also revels in how close Mike's hand is to him, shifts ever so slightly to make his shoulder connect against that bony, freckled wrist. The prince huffs, eyes slightly bulging with indignation.
It always goes that way, and then we inevitably lose it somewhere around the kitchens.
All right, all right.
Will gently holds his hands up. They briefly skim Mike's arm, and he shivers, before nodding over his shoulder.
I can go check for it, then.
No, this is a blood feud.
It's a rat.
He's an enemy of the state.
Fine, we can go together, then.
Will barely has the word together out of his mouth before Mike's dashing down the hall, unbuckled boots furiously clicking together. Will has to suppress a curse as he follows, already having horrific visions of the castle's other inhabitants waking up to Mike's mad chase after the rodent that's tormented him for the better part of 6 months. The last thing he needs is Nancy complaining to the king and queen about the noise, because it inevitably means that Will has to hear about it and report back to Mike, because God forbid the king or queen actually talk to their children. Sometimes they make Will feel more like a surrogate caretaker for the prince than the servant he's supposed to be. But sometimes, Mike did a fine enough job of that on his own. Like when he made Will put on his armor for him, or made him sit through the entirety of his dinner, even if it was taken in silence. And especially when he's decided a rat is an enemy of the state. Will catches up easily. He grasps at Mike's arm, but they continue to run. Just ahead, in the clasp of the fuzzy darkness, he can see something scuttle against the floor and around the corner.
There he is!
Mike whisper shouts. They pick up their pace. This is ridiculous beyond all measure, yes, but as they run out of reach of the glowing orange torches, he allows himself a fond smile, his eyes to graze over the profile of his beloved prince, beaked nose scrunched up with fury, eyebrows set in a hard line, lips pulled apart in a snarl. Mike can be hard to love at times. He's sharp edges and biting words and a poorly hid attitude. But Will's lucky. He has small moments like these to admire the prince for the other parts of him, the parts that his family often ignores. He's passionate and fiery, brave and impulsive. He's sharp edges, yes, but with the light receding and the darkness clasping its hands around them, the amber torchlight briefly pools in the hollow of his cheek, a warm reserve of color and freckles right before they round the corner.
Wait!
Mike skids to a stop, grasps a torch, and shoves it towards Will. He has to quickly catch it before it clatters to the floor, because Mike's already on the move again, unsheathing the sword he always keeps on his person.
Mike!
Will hisses, trying to catch up, hands cupped around the top of the torch to keep the flame from snuffing out.
People are gonna hear us!
Mike skids to a stop and thrusts an arm out. Will sees it, could stop a moment before contact, but he allows himself to halt only when he feels the prince's arm branding against his chest.
Shh!
Mike carefully whispers. In the corner of the hallway, right by the entryway to another passage,
The offending rat sits bunched up, as if still deciding whether to run or play dead. Will holds the torch up, his free hand still cupped around the flame. Slowly, he lowers his fingers and the light dapples across the rodent. Black, beady eyes blink at both of them.
"Are you really gonna spear a rat in the middle of the hallway?"
Will whispers out of the corner of his mouth. Mike slowly nods, gaze refusing to move from the rodent. The torchlight makes his eyes swell with intensity.
"But you'll get blood everywhere."
"A small price for freeing the state from this enemy."
Will rolls his eyes.
"I'm fairly certain this is a personal vendetta."
The sharp points of his tone briefly shake Mike out of his predator instincts. He peers out of the corners of his eyes and pulls his mouth up in a sneer.
"I'm a prince. My personal vendettas are allowed to be matters of the state."
"And this is why the divine right of kings is a foolish idea."
Now thoroughly distracted, Mike curls out of his combative posture and glares at Will.
"Seriously? You want to debate politics now when we're on a mission?"
Will's cheeks warm slightly at the use of the word we, but he still nods, defensive as ever.
"I will if you want to treat being the prince like a free pass to do whatever."
"I'm a good prince, and I'm trying to rid this kingdom of a fiend."
"But when does it stop? What happens when the next fiend is just somebody you don't happen to like?"
"Since when have I ever—"
Suddenly, the clanking of chainmail coming up from behind interrupts them. Both of the men jump, and before Mike can make his killing blow, the rat scurries through the entryway.
"Shit!"
Mike sees, uncaring of his volume now. His voice echoes from the stone rafters, bouncing between the walls, and no doubt seeping under every door in this wing. Will doesn't have time to formulate his own reaction before the clinking of chainmail grows closer, and there's the sound of a throat being cleared. They turn around to find Sir Lucas, head of the king's armies, behind them, clearly on his nightly patrol. A sword rests sheathed at his hip, and a thin sheen of sweat from the summer air rests across his forehead. A pit of embarrassment burrows into Will's gut. The torch in his hands magnifies the heat spreading across his face. Mike's shoulders slump with frustration, and he tilts his head back to groan.
"Prince Michael?"
Luke greets with a confused brow of his hand. He turns to Will, one eyebrow slanted up. "William?"
"Sir Lucas?"
Mike and Will echo dumbly. Lucas runs his eyes over them, glances over their shoulders. His eyebrows are scrunched in confusion, and he holds a hand out, gesturing at their defensive postures, the torch in Will's hand and the sword in Mike's.
"Is everything all right, my lord?"
"It's perfectly fine,"
Mike says, voice tight from trying to hide his frustration. An uncomfortable beat of silence passes. Will's palms begin to sweat. Not that he and Mike were doing anything scandalous, as much as the thought had crossed his mind in recent years, but he still felt like a kid being caught stealing from a market stall. Mike clears his throat.
A cough. William, tell Lucas what we're doing."
Will throws a glance at Mike. He doesn't even have the energy to be annoyed at him for shucking off responsibility, as usual. Lucas's eyebrow manages to slant up into a more severe angle. Will feels like the torch might slip from his hand.
Lucas
blinks at him. Mike watches him from the corner of his eyes.
The answer sounds foolish the second it leaves Will's mouth. "I'm teaching him some poetry."
Mike immediately has to stifle the incredulous look on his face. Lucas appears slightly amused now, head tilted to the side, like he doesn't quite believe it.
"Poetry?"
Will and Mike exchange a glance. Will shrugs almost imperceptibly, as if to say, "This is your fault, asshole," and Mike has to quickly turn back to the knight and nod his assent.
"Yes,"
he chokes out, as if the admission physically pains him.
"I love poetry."
Worried by Lucas's unbelieving gaze, Will finds himself nervously laughing.
"Honestly, I'm just as surprised as you are. He can't get enough of it."
Will can almost feel the heat radiating off of Mike in waves. With a knowing smile, Lucas bows his head slightly and begins to back up.
"Then I'll just,
leave you to your poetry, my lord. As his footsteps recede, Will and Mike's shoulders slacken with relief, but Mike's face still looks strained. He swipes his tongue over the front of his teeth as if to wipe the lie from his mouth.
Poetry, Will? Really? He hisses. That's the best you could come up with.
Will shakes his head and begins to walk away. It's late, and he can do this with or without the prince.
What did you want me to say?
Maybe something that didn't make me sound like a love-struck girl.
There's nothing wrong with love-struck girls.
Mike huffs, catching up to Will's pace. As they stomp down the hall, he continues to press.
You're a terrible liar. You know that, right? Seriously, Will, you couldn't lie if your life depended on it.
Right,
Will says with a roll of his eyes, holding the door open to the prince's chambers.
I mean, poetry? Really?
Mike kicks his boots off and doesn't even seem to care when they land on top of his bed.
My little sister could have come up with something better.
Then next time you go hunting for a rat, maybe invite her along instead.
There's a sigh, and then, arms crossing over his chest, Mike turns to Will. His eyes are intense again, but they look different this time. Not the gaze of a killer, but someone wrestling with something deep within himself.
No. You're the only person I'd want to do this with.
His mouth falls into a lopsided grin. Besides, who else is ever going to be around to help? Warmth swells in Will's chest. He has to restrain himself from smiling too widely, from pumping his fist in the air as if he's just won a game of cards. It might look more tight and uncomfortable than anything as a result, but he still tries to look happy as he says,
Thanks, Mike.
Now go back to your quarters and sleep. Mike's already shuffling to his bed and shoving his boots off of it, perfectly fine to watch them clatter to the floor. We have a long day of peace talks tomorrow, and I need somebody to take notes for me.
Of course, Your Highness.
Mike casts him one last fond look over his shoulder, his grin softening. Good night, Will. Will returns it twofold.
Good night, Mike.
On his way down to the servants' wing, Will makes a small detour. Normally, he'd simply go down the stairway, hook a left, and walk down the stores until he finds the apothecary chambers where his mother and brother worked. He'd climb on top of the mattress across from his brother's bed, and in the darkness of the night before sleep overtook them, he and Jonathan would talk about their day. Jonathan would complain about the apothecary duties. Will would complain about having to act like Mike's caretaker to hide the blush in his cheeks and the fondness making his words fuzzy at the edges. Tonight, though, he goes down the hallway he and Mike had just returned from. He goes through the entrance to the other passageway and follows its twists and turns until he comes to a room that's been used as storage for what must be centuries. Will's found scrolls dating back 800 years among its crates. He pulls the door open just enough to not make its hinges squeak and slips inside. Without the light of the moon or torches to guide him, he must call his magic to the fore, snapping his fingers and letting a bauble of light envelop his hand. He passes the light over the crates, searching, searching, searching.
Aha! There you are,
Will whispers with satisfaction as he looks into the lone, empty crate in the front corner. The offending rat, Mike's enemy of the state, is curled up among a few stray pieces of hay. It chitters with recognition as its eyes glance up to Will in his light, tail twitching with interest.
Don't worry. I made sure to bring you some.
Will digs in his pocket and procures a hunk of cheese he'd managed to snatch from Mike's upended dinner.
You did a good job tonight.
The rat lets out a squeak, already nibbling at the cheese before Will can even let go of it. Will's magic is something he must hold close to his chest. A family secret, his mom had told him long ago. But he's always enjoyed how it allows him to manipulate light, to levitate objects at a mere twist of his thoughts, to communicate with creatures both great and small. Which is infinitely useful for when he's trying to find ways to spend a little more time with the prince.
I'll bring you more food tomorrow. I can sneak you back into the chambers in a few days, and we'll do the same thing, yeah? Just find a place to hide until he's lost interest.
Imperceptibly, the rat nods, still chewing its cheese with contentment. Will had learned these past 6 months that keeping it fed was the easiest way to get it to cooperate with his own antics.
Seriously, Will, you couldn't lie if your life depended on it.
Will has to stifle a snort, a fond smile overtaking his face.
Oh, if only you knew.
Author's notes. My flight got delayed at the airport and I'm bored. Yay! Thought about this scene from Merlin yesterday at work and it haunted me. And I've got plenty of time on my hands, so I decided to write it. Thanks for reading. And Podficker's notes. I really love Merlin. It is truly, to me, one of the shows of all time. And when I saw this fic, I just like had to record it. Perry X Cry, thank you so much for having blanket permission on your works. I do have another Perry X Cry podfic on my to podfic list. It's just 30k, and I don't have time to record a 30k fic right now, but it is on the list. So be on the lookout for that at some point in time in the future, nebulously. But yeah, I love this scene in Merlin. The fact that, you know, Perry X Cry took it and made it Byler, I was like, okay, this is right up my alley. I must podfic this. So here you go. I hope that you enjoyed, and I will see you in the next one. Thanks, bye.